It's the 19th hole with Michael Williams.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the 19th Hole. I am your host, Michael Williams, bringing you the best of the best of the best in golf and golf lifestyle. I'm super excited because, well, the season, per se, for all the pros, is kind of closed, but it's wide open for the rest of us, and I'm going to be focusing on great golf destinations over the course of the next month or two. There are some wonderful locations. That includes entire nations. Ireland, Scotland jumped to top of mind. Or you can go to different places here in the United States and in the Caribbean. There's all sorts of places you can go to get wonderful golf experiences. And we're going to be focusing on all of those in the coming weeks. So be prepared for that. I'm really looking forward to some of the guests that I have coming up. None of them more important and significant than Casa de Campo. Casa de Campo is a place that has so many meanings for people, from a luxury splurge to a family annual trip. And the place is just full of memories, full of excitement, full of just anything that you could actually want out of golf and golf lifestyle. And Jason Kiechek from Casa de Campo is going to be joining us to talk about that wonderful spot in a very special year for them, what they have to offer you, and how you can take advantage of it. That's going to be very exciting. Also joining us are the guys from Indoor Golf Alliance. And I think this is a new trend with indoor golf. It's a just coming unstoppable trend with indoor golf, whether it's simulators, whether it's gaming, whether it's private in your house, or whether it's public in a restaurant. Indoor golf is coming. And the Indoor Golf Alliance is a new golf industry association that aims to take advantage of all of the things that are out there and be able to, they want to help businesses to bring that business to us. So I'm very, very interested in what they have to say. Also, we're going to have, and I'll leave this as a little bit of a surprise, one of my local courses here in Washington, D.C., 1757 Golf Club, has some really, really talented junior golfers that are going to be competing in national competitions in the PGA Junior League, and I just couldn't be more excited about them. So we'll have one of their representatives coming in to talk about what those guys are doing and how they're doing and how they're doing it and all that good stuff. I'm so pleased for that because I didn't get a chance to play junior golf. I wish that I had. I was in the other three sports, major sports. I forget what they are, baseball, football, basketball, something like that. But I didn't get into golf until much later in life. But thank goodness these kids are, and they have the mentors to make it the game for a lifetime for them. So we have so much to talk about, so much to do. We better get started. So go get yourself a beverage and a crunchy snack, cold beverage, if you please. And we'll be right here waiting for you. Michael Williams, 19th hole.
Hello, this is Gary Player. I'm listening to Michael Williams, the best, on the 19th hole.
Welcome back to the 19th hole. Michael Williams, your host. And I am so pleased this month, and maybe leaving a little bit more than a month, we'll do it. We're going to be focusing on places for you to go that I have been, and I can give the highest recommendation to these places. They have been so good, not only to me, but just as an experience. They're not just golf destinations. I want to highlight golf experiences, and one of the places that I've been is one of the places that has defined golf experiences for some time now. As a matter of fact, it's 50 years they've been defining golf experiences. And I'm, of course, talking about Casa de Campo, one of the finest, if not the finest, golf destination in the Caribbean. I have been there several times. I think it's magnificent, and I think it continues to be magnificent because it's always changing, always improving. But I can talk about it forever. Let's get somebody in who talks about it, who does it for a living. That is Jason Kiechek, the Chief Marketing Officer and the Vice President of Sales for Casa de Campo. Jason, first I got to say, welcome to the 19th hole. Second, did I pronounce your last name right?
Yeah, you did. You did just fine, Michael. Thank you. I know it's one of those difficult last names, so I'm used to it. Grew up with it. Don't worry. But
I worry. This is my job. This is the thing that I worry about. And
I don't have a simple, easy last name like you do, unfortunately. So
of course, you know, we can work on that too. But now I can relax and just go ahead and do the show now because the hard part is over. Like with your last name. But first, I want to say congratulations to you and to Casa de Campo on 50 years of what I can say is truly excellence in the golf business. Really, a hearty congratulations to you.
Well, thank you, and appreciate the very kind introduction you did for us as well, too. It is, I always say, a very special place here, and all of us who are part of this team and organization, we're all very privileged and humbled to be a part of such an incredible property that has had 50 years of just incredible history.
It really has. And for those who are getting to know the property, we're going to start from the beginning and give sort of the history of the place, how it got there and that sort of thing. So give us sort of the lead in. From the beginning of year one, where did Casa de Campo come from? What were the founding principles behind Casa de Campo?
Yep. Well, it has a very storied and interesting past that is really made for the movies. And I always say they should make a movie out of this. But rightfully so, it actually started because of a movie corporation over 50 years ago. And it was the Paramount Gulf and Western Movie Corporation back in the late 60s. The CEO of the company was very entrepreneurial from all accounts of the history and people I've spoken to who either knew him or I've actually gotten to know his daughter, who still is a resident here. But you can imagine coming back down here in the late 60s in the Dominican Republic, what it was like. There was really nothing here. There was this whole area was a giant sugarcane factory and just thousands and thousands of acres of sugarcane that had been here since the 18th century. Anyway, he was very entrepreneurial and came down here to buy or take a look to buying the sugarcane factory, which as we now know he did. And he's the one who just kind of fell in love with the Dominican Republic as he kept coming down here and then had the idea to first build a golf course and a home for himself and his friends and executives to come and enjoy and play. And that's really what started it. And unbeknownst to him or any of us at the time, the one he chose to build the golf course was, as we know today, a man by the name of Pete Dye, who has gone on to now be regarded as one of the best golf architects in the world. And so it was really the first course of its kind ever built and really, I think, put Pete on the map. He's been part of the property ever since. As we know, as time progressed, he built three more courses here over the years. But that's really how it started. And then the resort came into the picture after, he kept coming here and had the idea to start building homes and selling them to his friends so they could come here too. And he said, well, I need a place to put people. So he started the hotel. And that's how the resort side of it started. And then in 1983 is when our current ownership purchased the company, which included all the sugarcane, but also Casa de Campo. And they've just been incredible caretakers and developers of the property ever since. We're family owned. We have wonderful owners that are extremely supportive of everything we're doing and really have been the guiding cornerstones of keeping Casa de Campo true to its roots and helping us take it to the next level.
Well, I think it's very interesting that you're family owned. You always have been family owned. It's not a corporation. There's so much of that going on in the golf industry now where people, and who knows where this organization or any organization is going, but you see so much of limited partnerships and funds and that sort of thing. But to have a family feel at a family owned place is so rare. It's so difficult and so much appreciated by the golf public. And I think your place, Casa de Campo, really exemplifies the feeling of all of that.
You are so right. And it does trickle down throughout the entire organization as well. I mean, we even internally within our company say you're part of the Casa de Campo family. If you're an employee here and work here, and as I said, it really starts with the ownership, and they're very family oriented and wonderful people to work, not only work for, but to be a part of an organization like this. And as you've mentioned, so much of our industry has gone more towards the VC world and just corporate, which I come from that background as well. And I have to say, it's been very refreshing personally and rewarding to be working for a family-owned company that, yes, we're here to, as every business, to make money, but it's not so corporate-minded as a family company is, and everything. So they do a lot of great things for a lot of people here.
Yeah, and I was going to talk about the people who come there. We'll talk about even
Yep.
that even before we talk about the golf. I have to go back to the
Yeah.
golf courses and that sort of thing. But I remember
Yep.
my first time there. I went around the corner and I literally did a double take because I saw the side view and as he was speeding away in a golf cart, the back view of Derek Jeter, who's at Casa Campo, the same time I was. And I was like, okay, I know where I am now. This is
Yeah.
something. I mean, you are the place where people who can go anywhere choose to go.
And it's yeah, you've experienced it yourself, but yeah, it's kind of part of the fun of being here. You really never know who you're going to be running into or seeing on property or sitting down next to at dinner or teeing off next to when you're here. For those who have not been here, Casa de Campo is it's a 7,000-acre private gated community, and so security here is some of the best in the world, and that's really what a lot of the homeowners who buy homes here for. They one of many things they like, but our resort guests as well too. We have people like a Derek Jeter, and lots of other celebrities or professional athletes here, and nobody bothers them. There's no paparazzi allowed, and they can just kind of come here, relax. They're safe, and be by themselves or do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, and I know that a key part of you doing what you do is not mentioning who you have there by name, but
Right.
I've seen other folks too, and I'll just leave it at this. You don't know who you're gonna run into, but you will at least once have your mouth hanging open. Wasn't that just, going around the corner?
Yeah.
It's just it's not as rare as you would think at Casa de Campo. It's quite a place. So
Right.
let's turn to the golf because the golf is a
Sure.
real star from my point of view there. And
Yep.
the Teeth of the Dog, again, is, I think, the star of the show. I think, again, rated the number one course in the Caribbean, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're it is, and we're consistently, that's other unique, I guess, as you look at ratings, if you look at the top 100 courses in the world, it's consistently rated as the only course in the Caribbean rated in the top 100,
Wow.
which is quite, it's one thing to say you're number one in the Caribbean, but you make that top 100 course list, to me, that's even, more special of a list to be listed on. So
That is something because, I mean, after they do Ireland and Scotland, there's only about 30
right.
courses left, right? So that's
Yeah, that's true. But
that
yeah,
is,
it's a special course.
yeah, it really is a special place, and it's defined by its oceanside holes,
Yep.
the views, the vistas, the shot making is required. And I think it's someplace that you can enjoy. And this isn't the case everywhere with this top 100, where you could shoot a 72 and be happy, but you could shoot a 92 also and still feel like you had the time of your life. And that's not the case every
Yep.
place, but it is the case at Teeth of the Dog.
Yep. It's a course that, I think most players, when they play it their first time, feel that it doesn't beat them up. It's an enjoyable course, just spectacularly beautiful, as well. And the Dye Fork course up along the Chavon River Valley, which is 27 holes that Pete built. We kind of do an internal poll of just with everyone who plays the courses, and surprisingly, 50% of the people who come here and play golf like Dye Fork over Teeth. And
Really?
then obviously the other 50%, they like Teeth. Dye Fork is a much more challenging and difficult course. And to your point, like you just mentioned about Teeth, you can have a bad day out there, but you're still going to feel good about it.
Yeah, and I think one of the fun facts I learned is that the river that runs right by Die For is where they shot Apocalypse Now, I think, if I'm correct. Is that right?
Yeah, they have shot a lot of movies here over the years, and it's something actually, you know, we're very focused on continuing to grow and build the not only the movie filming industry, but television and all the Netflix series. We do a lot of that here. It's again a great environment to do those kinds of things in. You have a lot of privacy. It's safe, and you have a lot of different areas you can do your shots in that you don't have to leave the property.
Yeah, it really is something special on the course. A lot of award-winning golf there. A lot of really special golf in that place. But there's so much to do off the course, and it just seems to be getting to be more and more and more. I mean, the typical things that people like to do when we talk about golf, and it's golf and food or golf and wellness now. Brag a little bit about what you got going on off the course there at Casa de Campo.
Sure. So off the course, I mean, and that's one thing coming here, you know, it's really been regarded as a golf destination. And it is, it's a golfer's paradise here. You have four incredible golf courses here, all on property. You get and you can get to all of them in your own golf cart. But for the people who don't play golf, it's just a world-renowned sporting center. There's an incredible equestrian facility we have where we do polo as well as horseback riding. For families with young kids, it's just a great area to go to. We have a petting zoo and ponies for the young kids to ride. For those into shooting, we have one of the world's best trap and skeet shooting centers I've ever seen, world renowned, that we have, you know, people coming in from all over the world to shoot the course. Incredible racket center for tennis, pickleball, and paddleball. And then we have, of course, a beautiful beach, and that's the type of place Casa de Campo is. You can either come here and be incredibly active and take in all these different sports and activities, or you can just go hang out at the beach and relax and do nothing. So we have a beautiful beach area, incredible marina. It's the largest marina in the Caribbean, and the marina within Casa de Campo, it's its own little village, complete, you know, it was built actually after Portofino. And has its own, you know, people live there in the marina. They have their own restaurants and shops and grocery store, movie theater, hardware store. It's just another little part of Casa de Campo. And then the last part is the famed Altos de Chavon replicated 16th century Mediterranean village, which, again, going back to our movie developer's roots, he built this village that looks like you're in Italy. It's all cobblestone. He had a set design architect come down from the movie studio and build this thing. Took him 10 years to build, and it was built to be an artist community. There's an art school there with a museum and workshops. We do pottery. There's an art gallery, but there's also a real church, and it's a little village with restaurants and shops for shopping in. And then famous part is the amphitheater we do concerts in, which have also been part of the DNA in Casa de Campo since the place opened, because Frank Sinatra was the first one to ever perform and sing in the amphitheater when it opened a little over 40 years ago today. So over the years, we've done lots of concerts. And so that's another fun part when you're here. If you're here on a golf trip or just on a family vacation, if you happen to be here when a great concert's going on, you can, you know, enjoy that as well.
I'm glad you mentioned the Frank thing, because if you didn't, I would have, because I have been in that theater and sang Summer Wind to myself, you know, imagining that I was at that concert.
I think if I recall, you were with us last year when we did our 50th anniversary kickoff concert.
Yes, I did. It's just spectacular. The place where you can be with so many people and do so many things, or you can do absolutely nothing and you can be happy with that too. So I guess one thing is getting there. Is there any changes? What's the news about getting to Casa de Campo?
Yep. So we have our own airport, literally 5 minutes right outside the gates. That is called La Romana. We are fortunate. We have American Airlines that flies nonstop directly every day out of Miami. That's the most convenient. But there's two other major international airports, Punta Cana, which is 45 minutes in one direction from us, and then Santo Domingo, the capital city, that's another 45 minutes in the other direction. They have nonstop flights from all over the world that go into those airports. So very easy to get to. and easy driving as well. And I'd be remiss also, Michael, to say, some of the other new things we've done in the property since I've been here, that I didn't mention is we built a brand new spa and wellness center about a year and a half ago, and that has really set a whole other dimension in the property for our guests and people who are coming here. It's really it's already been voted the only Forbes 4-star spa ever to be in the Dominican Republic.
Wow.
And everyone I talk to who goes to the spa and wellness center is just blown away by it. So we have that here now as well too. And we also built new rooms, but they're all suites, and it's like a boutique hotel within the hotel that we have for our guests. And that they're about 2 years old now, and that also has just been another game changer for us. So we've invested a lot in the property. Culinary here, as you know, is another big focus for us. We have a lot of diverse restaurants to choose from, and because we're a community of homeowners, there's about 2,500 homes here right now that have been built over the years and growing tremendously. These are homeowners from all over the world, so our restaurants have to meet the standards of people who are from New York or London or wherever, to be at the same level they're used to. So our food is another thing I always hear people just rave about when they come here, and the diversity of it as well.
Well, this is the diversity. You really hit on it there. The diversity, both in the types of things that you offer and in the generations that are coming to the property. I mean, in your 50th anniversary, that's both a thing to be congratulated on, but it's also a challenge because that means you have close to three generations that are coming there. And do you see the differences? Does it make you smile to see the differences in what the three generations want and what they enjoy and what's alike about them and what's different about them?
Definitely, and that's one of the unique and rewarding things about working for a property that is this old. You do meet people who, they're grandparents now, and they'll tell you, oh, their parents or grandparents brought them here when they were a kid. And now they're here with, their kids or grandkids, and hearing the stories, and memories that they have as well. And that's something you don't get with too many properties that are out there that have standard the test of time, as they say. And it's great to see those new generations coming up and the kids coming up and more new families introduced to Casa de Campo that become lifelong fans as well.
Yeah, I think that's really the key is that some places come and go and they have a downturn and then new ownership comes up and brings them back or whatever. There's a lot of places that have been around maybe for the length of time, but I don't think there's been anybody who spent the length of time at the pinnacle of their game that Casa de Campo has. The fact that you have maintained such a consistent level of quality from day one to today is something that really you can be proud of. Is there any one thing, let you out of here after this, is there anything people would be surprised by that you offer that, oh, I didn't know Casa de Campo did that. What do people get surprised by that you do?
That's a good question. I think the biggest thing I keep hearing from people in general who've never been here before is well, incredible feedback on our staff, our employees. I think the level of just personalized, sincere customer service that our employees make and look after. I mean, we've had bellmen who've been here for 30 years, and I've had guests tell me that I was here 10 years ago and I haven't been back in 10 years, and you had the same bellman here and he remembered my name.
Wow.
That things like that. And again, that comes with time. It comes with having the right, we have the employees here are just incredible people, and they love what they do. They're part of the family. So I think that's a big thing. But the other big thing I always hear from people too is about our food. They've traveled all over the world, they've been to other places, and they're just surprised at the level of food. But I think the people are what make the place special. You can have an incredible place, but the thing that really makes the difference are the people and the level of customer service, which we focus very, very much on and do a lot of training and everything. But it comes sincerely from the our employees. They're just can't say enough about them. They do a great job.
Well, I got to say that whatever you're doing, keep on doing it, doing more of it, because it is definitely working from my perspective.
Well, appreciate it, Michael. And I got to mention here, too, before I know our time's almost up, but the teeth of the dog has been undergoing a once in a lifetime project that, you know, I tell our team we're all very privileged to be a part of. As you know, we closed the course early this year in January for a year long, we call regeneration project.
Yeah.
And we're nearing the official grand opening of the Teeth of the Dog this December. Jerry Pate is the architect our ownership hired to oversee the project and do the project. He worked very closely with Pete over the course of his career, and he's done an incredible job. And I have to say, I underestimated the amount of interest and pent-up demand there would be out there when we close teeth and people just waiting, can't wait for it to reopen. So we're planning December to have the teeth reopen. It'll be a brand new course, restoring Pete's original design and maintaining the integrity of the course. But Jerry's done some really great improvements and cosmetic changes to the course. So if anyone hasn't played or has played it in the past, when you come back and play it again, I think you're going to be blown away. I got goosebumps when they take me out there and I look at what they're doing to the course. So it's going to make it even more special.
Well, as they say in the movies, you had me at hello. Yeah. I'll try to make time to come
back. Yeah, we'll down here and you can check it out, but it's a very exciting time for the company and kind of the next 50-year chapter. So,
well, from your lips to God's ears, congratulations on the first 50 and best of luck on the next 50. And again, when you have anything new or exciting to tell people about, you have a soapbox to stand on and a megaphone to shout through right here.
Great.
Okay, definitely.
Well, very much appreciated, Michael. Thank you so much.
You got it, Jason. Thank you so much. That is Jason Kiechek from Casa de Campo. Look, I remember when I was down there, and from seeing Jeter and you guys know how much I'm into shooting sports. The shooting center there is unbelievable. Stay out of the tournaments. Believe me, you can't afford it, some of the tournaments that go on there. But it is just everything about it is both extremely professional and extremely personal. And I think that is the hardest line to balance. There's some places that are so professional that you can't stand it. You feel like your own bedroom. You should make it up yourself because you're not supposed to leave that for other people. And there's some places where it's kind of the opposite. But there's never been a place that captured more the spirit of professionalism and just a personal welcome than Casa de Campo. So please, get out to Casa de Campo, see it, and let me know what you think of it, because I think the world of it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more golf and stuff. Michael Williams, 19th hole. Welcome back to the 19th hole. Michael Williams, your host and Sherpa for this and all episodes. I am so interested in the ways that the game is growing. We all know that the game is growing in terms of the number of people that are playing, in terms of the number of places there are to play. And we're also growing in terms of how people are experiencing golf. And I'll say golf with the air quotes here, because that feeling has changed about what golf is. It used to be 18 at the country club, and then the public golf has become such a big part of that now. And a new branch of the game is indoor golf. And I think most of us now have played some form of indoor golf, whether it's hitting from a simulator, you could have been at David Buster's, you could have been at your friend's house, it could be just on a putting green. There's so many ways to experience the game indoors now. And right now I have as my next guest someone who has taken the lead in bringing the game that's indoors to the masses and making sure that the game thrives as it should. So please welcome of the Indoor Golf Alliance, Phil Immordino. Phil, welcome to the 19th hole. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Michael. Thank you so much for having us on the show.
Well, I appreciate it. And congratulations to you on setting up this organization. I think it's well past time for something like this that takes care of what is clearly a unique segment of the game, but it's also part of the game itself. I got to ask you, though, just going back to the beginning, before we get involved with the start of the Indoor Golf Alliance, how did you get started in golf?
Well, it's interesting, Michael. Man has wanted to hit a little ball, a little round item with a stick since humanity started. And that continues to grow. As you see, the game of golf is going through the ceiling. After COVID, it almost tripled in interest and participation. And you're right. Folks just want to play golf. They want to hit that little round ball with a stick. And so they'll do it wherever they can. So about 20 years ago, people started doing it more indoors. In fact, in the beginning, they were called screen golf, right? Screen golfers. And you saw that grow. You saw the technology grow. I have been fortunate to be in the golf business for over 40 years. I got addicted to this sport back in my late 20s, started playing a lot, and I figured if I had to earn a living, I might as well do it in the golf industry. So we created the Golf Tournament Association about 40 years ago, which is serving golf tournament planners. It helps educate anybody who wants to put on a golf tournament, whether that's charity, whether that's corporate, or whether that's competition. So we've been doing that for 40 years and very involved in the business. About 10 years ago, I took over the National Golf Sales Rep Association, and that's simply for golf sales reps to connect with suppliers and make sure that those job openings are filled. About a year ago, a lot of my friends are getting into indoor golf. A good friend of mine opened up a Golf Song Ledbetter facility in Long Island, New York. I was at the PGA show and invited to a Golf Zon party and realized that indoor golf was huge around the world. So started asking a lot of questions, started analyzing the industry, and found out that there was no association, there's no alliance, there's no one kind of pulling everyone together. So a year ago, did my research, did my homework, talked to a lot of folks, not only in golf in general, but also getting involved in the indoor space. So we decided that there's a need for an alliance, a vehicle that people can call their home, their own, and come to get information, education, and really promote the industry, business to business. Yes, the golfer herself is huge, but we're not ready to tackle that one yet. That is bigger than we're ready to get after. But right now, there's a lot of businesses that want to improve, a lot of indoor businesses that want to increase their business. Obviously, there's a lot of individuals who are looking to get into this business. So that's why we created the Indoor Golf Alliance, and we launched 3 weeks ago.
Well, again, just hearty congratulations on that. And there's so many directions we can take this in so little time, as they say. But let's start with, who's likely to be a member of IGA? You know, manufacturers, suppliers, this type of people. Who's going to be a member?
Anybody involved in the business aspect of indoor golf or who's considering getting involved. So that would include local golf facilities, from the instructional facilities to the restaurants and bars to the indoor driving ranges. So anyone who has an indoor facility, anybody who's thinking about creating an indoor facility. That might be an entrepreneur. That might be investors. That's probably the base of our membership. But then you also have a couple thousand golf courses that currently have indoor facilities or indoor simulators or covering their driving range. So those folks are also going to benefit from the organization. So you've got facilities, you've got golf courses, you've got entrepreneurs, you've got definitely the suppliers, all the suppliers who are going to provide product and services to these locations. Then you have golf instructors who just want to learn new techniques on how to get more students. Then you have installers, everyone who puts, you know, simulators in office buildings or in waiting rooms. So you've got a whole group. Anybody who's touching this industry, we have a free membership. So it's easy. You give us your email and you'll get the news. And that free membership just simply includes being a member, getting the benefits of information, the webinars, the trade shows, the conferences. You have access to all of those.
I mean, it's fantastic that a number of people, when you think about it, who are potential members and participants in this organization, the suppliers, instructors, you talk about it, but especially the golf course owners, because so many of them, and I was just at Tech Talk with the NGCOA, I was a speaker there and a moderator, and we talked so much about how the indoor business, how the virtual business is coming into being a major part of how golf course owners do their business. They're not just thinking about, especially in the East Coast, places where we have weather, where we have winter, it's not just a part-time thing. The indoor thing can provide year-round income for these people, and so they're very, very into it. Is that what you've seen too?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, winter, the weather is a major factor. So if you're closed during the winter, of course you want something for your golfers to come to. That helps you continue to sell membership and helps you to sell more food and beverage. It helps give your members, especially for private clubs, a place to go when there's snow on the ground. But what now we're seeing is even the places that the weather's great all year round, well, that's Florida and Texas and Arizona and California. Yes, we love playing outdoors, but indoor has a great purpose. You know, folks who just want to warm up or practice or maybe get some instruction, they don't have time for 4 hours or even a nine hole 2 hours. So now you've got some entertainment indoors. You can build parties around it. You can build events around it. So there's no reason why golf courses shouldn't have some form of indoor golf at their properties.
Well, it's interesting because I listen to you now and you're doing a lot of educating for our audience and for me. How much of your job is educating businesses, golf courses, other types of entrepreneurs about the potential of indoor golf, what it really means as a business opportunity?
Well, one of my top priorities, but I truly am not the expert. So our job is to corral the experts. Mm. And we are continually talking to folks who've been in this business for 20 years. We continue to talk to folks who are, you know, investors and business owners. So they have a lot of value to bring. Promoters, social media, all these folks are experts in marketing businesses. So our job is to funnel all that in one location. You can get bits and pieces of information and education throughout the internet, but we plan on being the funnel, the go-to place with all the education and all the news and everything you need to know about your business or getting into this business.
I get you. And so we've talked a little bit about membership, who's a member, who's interested in this organization. We talked a little bit about the education that we provide. And on your own website, you provide events as one of the three focuses of what you do. What kind of events are you doing or are you planning to get people together to talk about and advance their goals in indoor golf?
Well, mainly we plan on doing a couple things. One, definitely podcasts and webinars focused on indoor golf. We're launching our very first one next week, next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And it's the first indoor golf forum that we're inviting everybody in the industry, We've already done some surveys. We've already got some feedback of what people are looking for. And so this forum is a place for people to tune in and hear what's going on, get an update in the industry, and then hear some of the valuable questions and answers that are being asked in this industry. So we plan on a monthly podcast webinar with education, bringing in experts on a regular basis. Then we will have a presence at the PGA show in Orlando. We will have a session, a big speaking session. And the topic there is going to be, what is the potential for crossover? How do golf courses and indoor golf facilities work together? How do they promote each other? How do you send each other members and customers? So that's a very important topic that we'll be covering at the PGA show in Orlando. Plus, we're going to have a gathering there, and we're kind of nailing down the details there. We'll have a booth at the show. So our job there is to just, you know, get out information. And then kind of a thing we're working on, which is still coming together, not for major publication, but working on an international trade show in July of 2026, where we hope to bring the whole industry together. Further than that, we'll be looking at some regional conferences, some local webinars and sessions. So those are the events that we've got on the docket.
Oh, that sounds outstanding. And I'm ready to mark off and reserve my tickets right now for those events. They sound very exciting. We've zoomed in on the organization. Let's zoom out a little bit and talk about the market in particular. When we talk about indoor golf and these types of things, people have very different ideas of what that could be. Anywhere from a very plush type of indoor golf setup with leather chairs and fancy clubs and that sort of thing to, dare I say, Top Golf. Could be considered an indoor thing. Talk a little bit about who you're targeting, what the market looks like, and who you're really trying to get to be a part of this alliance.
That's a great question, and there's so many uses. It's unlimited, the uses of indoor golf. So obviously, right now, the main focus is going to be local facilitators. So there's about 2,700 folks who have a retail outlet, which is commercial, which is being used for instruction, entertainment, practice, health clubs, that type of thing. That's the primary focus. You've got 2,000 golf courses that have something on their property. So I see every golf course in the country should have something. So that's what, 15,000-16,000 golf courses in the U.S. alone.
Wow.
Let's not even start talking about worldwide, because that's how big the market is.
Yeah.
I've heard numbers that, a cap out would be 10,000 locations. But, if you start including community centers, rec centers, athletic clubs, the potential is unlimited. 20,000, 25,000 places could have some type of simulator, because you're not talking about just hitting a golf ball. You're talking about bringing the kids out and introducing them to golf and other types of games. Simulators are going to be used for so much more than we can even comprehend right now. They're going to be used for not just golf, but they're going to be used for other sports. You can now, go bowling on a simulator. You can play baseball on a simulator. So the indoor golf is going to expand to other opportunities. But now open up Pandora's box and think about all the movie theaters around the country that are sitting empty. Why wouldn't movie theaters start thinking about adding larger indoor driving ranges in those empty theaters? Hmm. Now you're hitting a major, huge screen, like you see Tiger Woods and Rory on the, the TCL tour. So then you think about stadium golf, where you're hitting golf balls at, Fenway Park. I mean, it's literally unlimited to where you can see simulator golf, fitting in.
As I sit and listen to you, I get a vision of my last visit to South Korea. And many who are in my audience know the story of South Korea, where the end of the story is there are many more indoor golf facilities, and more rounds are played indoors by far than outdoor golf. And there's a lot of outdoor golf being played there, but indoor golf everybody plays. I went and stayed at hotels where there weren't gyms, but there were indoor golf ranges. You could hit balls. There are 50 people hitting balls, and there's no gym. So I don't know what you see as the future. Do you think that the United States, maybe not as many rounds, but we can get the indoor golf game, that entertainment part of the game, to be just as big as the outdoor game is?
It could be. You know, again, it is golf. Not everyone is as passionate about swinging the golf club. Some people would rather hit a pickleball paddle. Some people would rather hit tennis, you know, rackets. Some people would rather bowl or play softball. But bottom line is golf could be for everyone.
Yeah.
Even us seniors can play into our later years. So you see golf as kind of a sport that anybody can play, kids and women and seniors. So I see it growing across the board. But what I'm also seeing is, you know, you walk into a car dealership and, you know, you're waiting for your oil to be changed. And now you can hit golf on an indoor simulator. I'm seeing, you know, all types of putting green facilities who are adding an indoor simulator. So, again, the potential is unlimited. It's funny you should mention Asia, because I've heard stats that there are some people that have never played outdoor golf but have played a ton of indoor golf, never been on a golf course, but they'll play indoor golf. So, again, the potential is unlimited.
So as we close, I want you to do just a 30-second to a minute commercial for the types of organizations that you're looking to become members of the Alliance. Tell them, let's imagine you meet me in a elevator, and you've got till the 10th floor to tell me and convince me to be a member of the Alliance. What would you tell me?
Michael, great to meet you in an elevator. I can tell you that the Indoor Golf Alliance is here to serve the indoor golf industry. We're here to educate, we're here to promote, we're here to build community, and we're here to motivate and encourage. So our job is to help facilities build their business and grow stronger with more membership and more activity. Our job is to educate entrepreneurs who are thinking about getting into the business, and our job is to help suppliers reach all of these facilities who want to get in the golf, indoor golf business.
Well, you had me around the 7th floor. So yeah, I'm sure. Good to go. And I know you have different programs, you have press releases, you have partner programs, lots of different opportunities. I'll let people get to the website and discover for themselves the value that you bring. So if you would just give us the ways to contact you, especially your email address, or your website, I should say.
Yeah, our website is simply indoorgolfalliance.org, O-R-G. Mm-hmm. You can fill out a form there, or you can email me personally, which is phil@indoorgolfalliance.org.
Okay, and people can get information there. They can see for themselves the value that you bring, ask questions. And again, for a nascent organization, I think you've hit on a really, really important segment of the market, just as it's about to go ballistic. So again, congratulations to you. And we'll be sure to have you on again to talk about your successes, new challenges, all those things. First time, but not last time, okay?
Wonderful. Love to come. Update you on what's going on.
You got it, Phil. Thanks so much for coming. Again, the organization to me is just, it's just timely. It's just the right time for it. We have a situation where golf is growing more than ever, getting larger than ever. People are more excited about playing it. But with indoors, it's a little bit different because it doesn't matter. And Topgolf has shown us this. It doesn't matter if they're using a golf club and a ball to try to hit a hole, or if they're trying to hit an angry bird, or if they're trying to hit an exploding barrel. It doesn't matter. As long as you're using a golf club to swing and a golf ball to strike that object, then you can make it interesting to a variety of new people. They don't care. As long as they have a burger and a soda or a fuzzy soft drink that's next to them, they don't care. I think this is going to be the way of the future. I think the Indoor Golf Alliance is going to be huge, and we'll definitely be following that story for you here. We'll take a break, come back with more golf and stuff. Michael Williams, 19th hole. Welcome back to the 19th hole. Michael Williams, your host. And as usual, I am so proud of the work that people do with the young golfers in the Washington, D.C. area. I don't take enough time to brag about them. I try not to focus too much on my local guys because they are my local guys. But they do a fantastic job here. I must admit, this is the way I came to golf, not playing junior golf, sadly, but making junior golf available to the many, many kids in this area who benefit from it. And there's so many good programs going on now, but I wanted to bring on one that is doing especially well out in Loudoun County, Maryland. Please welcome junior golf coach Scott Holmes to the show. Scott, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. And again, I wanted to congratulate you on what you're doing. If you would, just go ahead and give our guests and our listeners, rather, a quick update on your organization and what you're doing with the organization.
Oh, yes, sir. I am the director of golf, or excuse me, the director of instruction at 1757 Golf Club. And there I manage all of our golf programs. But the highlight of my program is our junior league, PGA Junior League Golf. We have about 150 kids that play every spring, and of those 150 kids, we choose 8 kids for All-Stars. We have a 13 and under program that has 8 kids, and we have a 17 and under program that has 8 kids that are on my 2 All-Star teams. And that program has been nationally recognized. Our first trip was in 2018, and we've gone the last 3 years, so 2023, 2024, and now 2025.
Well, I mean, that is something to really be proud of, and I want to say congratulations and well done to both you and to the kids. I know that 1757, there's a long history of that property here in D.C., and I've done many, many, many stories on it, and it's a number of iterations that it's been from ultra-private club to really a booster of junior golf in the county and in the area. At 1757 now, talk a little bit about what 1757 is as a club and what it provides.
So we have a large property there. We have an 18-hole golf course that is private. The rest of our property is public. So we have a sports bar-style restaurant that's open to the public. We have a full golf academy with 9 instructors. We have a full public driving range. We also have a fantastic short game area there, but we also use it for our academy. So basically public facility, but a private golf course.
And that's really an interesting hybrid that you have there. And that's sort of been the plan. It's gone through various shifts in who it handles and what it's who it's available for. But for right now, it's such a great thing that the course and, of course, your instruction and your guidance is available to the youngsters. Are the kids who are in the program, are they the children of members, or do you take entrants from all over the county? How do you choose who gets to be a part of PGA Junior League?
So we're very unique in the standpoint of having a private golf course, but still allowing anyone from the public to register for our programs. That I believe we're so successful is because we get a lot of students in through our academy. Like, we have our junior academy classes, which are pretty much intro. We run 9 weeks of summer camp throughout the summer. You know, kids from all over the area, from Fairfax, from Loudoun, you know, just anyone who you're but our program is more than welcome to come and play. So we don't exclude anyone. And I think that's why we're able to have the numbers that we have and to just get, you know, kids from all over the place, you know, interested in golf, loving golf, and just you know, as far as they want to go, you know, we have the specialties there with our various instructors and golf fitters to provide, you know, pretty much anything that they want.
And I think it's also unique in the golf world when we talk about junior golf, because there are other programs that focus more on participation and introducing kids to the game and behaviors of the game and that sort of thing. I think we all know who we're talking about, but Junior Golf League, you are, I think, more focused on the competitive aspect of the game and improving the game with each individual player. Am I right in assessing it that way?
Yes and no. I mean, the competitive part of it, the All-Stars, the success that we've had nationally, absolutely. You know, we're very blessed to have Adam Harrell, who is, you know, Golf Digest, you know, renowned teaching professional. He gets a lot of students, some kids that are like Michael Brennan's playing on the Korn Ferry Tour. I think he's won 3 times. So, you know, but we also have, you know, other players that are new and they're, you know, they hear about Adam and they come, you know, take lessons from him. He's very technical in his aspect of teaching, you know, but then we have, you know, everybody else, everybody has their own teaching style. Everybody, you know, caters to the individual for what they want to get out of the game of golf. Like if they want to be a competitive golfer, if they want to go to college and play D1 golf, we've had a lot of golfers come to our program to have achieved that goal. But also, you know, if you're just a player that you want to come out, you've heard a lot about golf, you want to try it, you want to get involved in it, you know, our PGA Junior League program, our junior academy classes, our summer camps, they all cater to those kids as well. So you can be as involved as you want to be, or you can be as casual as you want to be. We really want to build golf as an option of just life enjoyment for kids. If you want to be competitive, great. If you want to play recreational, great. You know, we offer something for both avenues, and we let the, you know, we guide the parents, we guide the kids in the direction that they want to go. And of course, they're always welcome to change their mind. If they're, you know, wanting to be competitive and they started out recreational, then, you know, absolutely, we'll change courses. We'll put a program together for them, you know, and we'll guide them through the steps as far as they want to go.
Well, I think that's interesting. You said it obviously much better than I did, in that you can take kids whichever direction they want to go. If they want to have it be the game for a lifetime, they can do that. If they want it to be competitive and play in college golf, maybe even professional golf, they can do that. But you're open to all levels of competition and interest. And again, I say you said it much better than I did. You guys have some major trips coming up. You've achieved some things. Talk about what you got coming up and brag a little bit.
Certainly. We are headed to Santa Ana, Pueblo, New Mexico, really around the Albuquerque area tomorrow. My coach, Tim Brogan, my assistant coach, he is, and myself, we're heading out there. We have the 17U National Championship coming up. The competitive rounds will be Friday and Saturday. And then the top 4 teams out of 12 will advance to a match play style semifinal on Sunday morning. And then the top, well, all 4 teams play. You have the top 2 teams from those matches. The winners play the championship match. And then the 3rd and 4th teams will play for 3rd and 4th place on this consolation match, if you will. We've been 3 years in a row now. We love it out there in New Mexico. Fantastic golf course at Twin Warriors. You know, hats off to them. They do a really good job and put on a really good show for the kids. So just a great experience, great resort environment. You know, it's desert golf. So, you know, really looking forward to heading out tomorrow morning on that one. And then mid-November, we go to Frisco, Texas, to PGA Frisco, where the home of the PGA is. He has a fantastic facility down there, 2 golf courses. They have Field Ranch West, Field Ranch East. We play the Field Ranch West course. And again, same format. They do 2 9-hole practice rounds. They have full media coverage that's televised on ESPN. So there's a, you know, media coverage of that everybody, you know, across the country can see, and I guess across the world if you can get ESPN. So really, really good exposure for junior golf and just a fantastic opportunity for those kids. So, you know, mid-November, I think it's the 16th through the 20th is when that is in November. We're heading back out there. And again, this will be the 3rd year in a row that we've made it that far as well. So just really proud of the kids in my program and the work that they put in, and just these two opportunities that these kids have coming up are just fantastic.
Well, we're all really proud of you and what you've done and what you continue to do and make available for the kids in the area. For parents who are listening to this and getting an inspiration, or kids for that matter, how can they get involved? What numbers or websites do we go to get more information?
Yeah, they can go to our website. It's 1757. And on there, there's an Academy tab. They just click on the tab. They can get a full list of all of our programs. It's divided up into tiles. You don't need to be a member in order to access that. You know, our numbers on there, phone numbers on there as well. So any questions or any, you know, anything that you need when you look over that questions, give us a call. We're happy to take your call and answer any questions you may have. We can help you over the phone to get registered, involved in whatever you want. You're also welcome to email me. My email is sholmes@heritagegolfgroup.com. And I can send over any information listed on the website just for the various upcoming PGA Junior League seasons. We'll start 2026 on January 5th is when that registration opens. But we also have indoor facilities. We have simulators and things of that nature that we can do golf year round here, which is a blessing. Wait till the spring to get involved. If you want something for your son or daughter to do during the winter, or just to further golf so that they're not, you know, sitting around doing nothing. And when it's cold, you know, send them over. We would love to have, you know, anybody that's, you know, wants to get better at golf over the winter time, would love to have.
Outstanding. And just give us the website one more time.
Sure. It's 1757golfclub.com. And that's 1757golfclub.com.
That is fantastic. Again, Scott, thanks so much for this. And congratulations on what you're doing. And let us know when you have some more good news to report. I know you have plenty of it, but you'll always have a place to share it with the audience right here on the 19th hole, okay?
Well, thank you so much, Michael, for having me. And we're going to try our best to bring home another trophy this week.
Beautiful. I'll make room on the mantelpiece. You all do great, okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. That is Scott Holmes, a junior golf mentor, I would say, out at 1757. It's a great golf club. I've known about it since it was in the planning stage. It's a whole big, long story that started off with AOL, if you remember that, being a private course for AOL, and then moved into the public sphere, and it's been really an anchor for public golf here in the Washington, D.C. area. But to know that it's also doing so much good for young golfers, building the game, and not only building good competitive golfers, but good golfers for life. And that's what this game is all about. It's a game for life, right? So congratulations again to all the young men and women out of 1757 and to Coach Holmes. A hearty well done. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with much more golf and stuff in just a minute. Michael Williams, 19th hole. Well, as we say in my neighborhood, that's it and that's all for this edition of the 19th hole. I want to thank all my special guests, and there's so many of them, the guys from the Indoor Golf Alliance, the guys from PGA Junior League out of 1757. Congratulations to all on everything that you're accomplishing with those guys. And, of course, Jason Kaichek from Casa de Campo. It is an extraordinary property. And if you have the time, because you do have the means to do that. You don't have to do everything. You don't have to stay forever. But I think you owe it to yourself as a fan of the game and a fan of yourself to get down and get a look at that place and let it wash over you. You will not be sorry. You can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, I think it's called, and also Spotify and all the great places where great podcasts are domiciled. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. We'll be back next week with another great show. In the meantime, play all the golf you can, and when you do, do your very best to hit them straight. Michael Williams, 19th hole.